5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I see assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
Is this moron number one?
How can one bloke be that stupid?
Put moron number two on the phone.
Well, I'm just dopey, I think, aren't you?
What the hell is wrong with you two?
I feel good!
Oh, geez, the 8th of August, Bill. How quick's this year going by?
Yeah, quick.
It's unbelievable. We've got two more games left.
Two and a half and away.
What was that?
He started early.
Damien Barrett joins us shortly to talk about a big round of footy. Nick the Lizard Blakey.
Yes.
No shoulders.
Looking forward
attached to
that
man.
Looking forward to that.
He's coming up as well.
Yep.
We give away an amazing prize of the V8 supercars. Got some great feedback with Rosie Walton.
Yeah.
I can't. Topic's brownless.
Mm-hmm.
Like a Monday.
Mm.
I've said this so many times. It's not the right day for you.
No.
Right. Have a look at the stupid head on it. What are you doing, fat?
Well, to be honest, hello, Jim, but I'm not happy.
Why?
I'm not respected around here. I don't get recognition that I deserve. I don't get the respect. I don't get the credence that I deserve at this joint.
What for?
I don't get it from Triple M. I don't get it from the public. I don't get it from the F1 people. And I don't get it from you, Flog, Brayshaw.
What are you talking about?
The biggest story in world sport has been broken by?
Who?
Breaking stories, Brownless. Oh. Let me tell you. And I got confirmation on Saturday, and I quote, McLaren ends Ricciardo's 2023 F1 deal to make way for Piastri. And what did I say last week on the rush hour?
I don't know.
I said this. Quick, I'm just going here. I've heard a whisper. Do you want to hear it?
Go on.
Oscar Piastri,
yes,
the Melbourne boy that just lives down here in
Brighton.
Brighton. He could be driving for McLaren next year. McLaren.
He's heard a whisper, so he's delivering it as a whisper.
As a whisper.
Jim, I told you that Wednesday.
You did.
And it breaks over the weekend. Breaking stories.
To be fair, you did.
What did you say?
I said, to be fair, you did.
Mm, exactly. So I get anything?
But I don't remember it being quite as clean as that, Rabs. I think my memory of you breaking it sounded a bit more like this.
Did I tell you about Oscar Piastri?
Oh, no.
Piastri?
Piastri.
And we knew who we were talking about. The boy from Brighton is going to take over and drive for McLaren.
So how did you know he was going to be replacing Daniel Ricciardo behind the wheel of a McLaren next year?
I don't give away my sources.
Oh, don't you?
No, Jim.
Jeez.
I'm a good journo.
Now you're starting to sound like a few journos I know.
Not Damien.
No.
He hasn't got any sources.
No, he doesn't go down that
path. Mike Sheehan, I am. I was all over that. I knew for a while. He didn't tell me. Mike, he's too busy down there at the Sorrentos trying to chat to every girl that comes.
Oh!
But well done, Bill. Breaking stories.
I will hand
Brownless.
That to you on Breaking Stories. Yes. You were on that before anyone else even knew about it.
You got any other good ones for me? G'day, Raps.
Ended up with 723 goals for his career. A ornament to the game. Sensational career. Well done, Josh Giddey.
Josh Giddey. Josh Giddey.
Gazy.
You were doing so well. You were doing so well.
Something falls in my mind. Well done, Josh Kennedy.
Gazy. Come
Josh
on, Gazy.
Giddey.
Giddey. Just got Josh Giddey in his head.
What the hell?
Come on, Gazy. You're better than that. No, he's not.
Not actually.
Rapper.
Now on Triple M's Rush Hour.
Jim, our listeners do like hearing about other sports other than golf, football and cricket, you flog.
It's Billy's All Sports Report.
One day to go in the Commonwealth Games, Jimmy boy.
How many gold?
Well, let's have a look. We've got 68.
Gold!
55.
We got the silver.
And we've got 53.
Bronze.
174 medals.
That's my
Jim.
Favourite bit.
174 medals.
Bronze.
174 medals in total. The Poms have got 168, so well done. We've kept ahead of the Poms. That's their home ground. So
thank you, Bill.
Yeah. Canada third, New Zealand fourth, and India fifth. Okay, here we go. Yes. Guess what happened when the girls, the Diamonds, they beat Jamaica, who beat them in the pool
home
game.
And away,
yes, exactly. They won the gold medal, and it is their 1,000th gold medal that Australia have won.
Give another what? Go. Another
one thousandth.
A third go.
It's 999 plus one.
We have a journalism intern sitting in the airlock.
I know.
Amy? And you can't say one Amy. Thousandth.
One thousandth. But you wouldn't believe what happened the night before when they played England. They defeated England. Oh, that was a tough game, and they got booed the whole game and things like that.
Yes.
But the goal defence for England, Leila Gasket, she blew a gasket, Jim. Have a look at this. She ran into the pole.
Have a look at that.
Oh, gee, Leila Gasket. Well, the doctor, by nickname and by trade, has almost surgically removed the goalpost.
Let's have a look at this replay. Literally straddles.
So they're going to have to fix the goalpost. And I've never seen greatest highlight of my commentary career. Oh,
the girls are laughing. Straddled the goalpost, Jim.
Lethal Matthews style.
Well, exactly right. They had to take the goalpost away. They found one out the back and walked in with this new goalpost. Well done to the Aussies. Well done to the Diamonds. That's a great win over Jamaica there.
Because we got beaten last time and weren't happy about it either.
No, exactly. And a great win by the girls in the cricket. They defeated India by 9 runs, Jim.
Yep.
But what about this? Talia McGrath, who's been a great all-rounder for us. She tested positive for COVID the morning of the game and was allowed to play, but had to sit on her own with a mask on when she was waiting to bat. And she actually took a catch.
Catch it! Another shot for catch it. Another chance. Hands Talia McGrath. Well, they can't celebrate with it because she's tested positive for COVID. Keep your distance. You've never seen anything like it.
She was high-fiving. But couldn't touch
it. Fresh air.
Yeah, exactly.
Bill.
Yep.
Are they Australia's greatest ever team now?
Very good question.
You almost got to say they are. When you look at the wins.
Trifecta, the world champions in the one day.
That's it.
The T20 world champions. Yep. And didn't lose a game.
Did not lose a game.
And now Commonwealth Games.
And the Ashes. Meg Lanning, the skipper. You've almost got to say, certainly in the modern era.
You know what they are, Jim?
Australia's greatest ever cricket team.
They're the most complete team. Because they can bat down to about 9 or 10.
Yep.
They can all bowl nearly. They're a very good side. So well done to the girls. They're a spaghetti bowl, Peter Bowl, silver in the 800.
I saw that.
Nice run by Pete. Yeah. You saw it.
I saw it. But Bill, I've seen the highlights on the feed here.
Did you see Ollie Hoare?
I heard.
Oh, have a listen to this. Bruce loved it in the 1500.
Hoare lifting here. Lifting with a big run. Into the stretch. Whiteman leads. Ollie Hoare's coming with a mighty run with Chariot. The Aussies are charged. Chariot goes up. Here comes Ollie Hoare with a flashing run. I reckon he's going to get it.
Yes!
He's won it. He's won what Herb did in 1958. It's an extraordinary moment in Australian sport.
That audio courtesy of Channel 7, by the way.
Yes, exactly. Well done.
What was causing it to interfere in my ears?
Yeah.
No, I got that too.
Right.
The Jav. Do you watch the Jav? That's
jab.
What we call it.
Do you?
Track
you
and field blokes call it the Jav. Yeah. Kelsey Lee Barber, who won the World Championships, a week ago.
Yes.
She got COVID, come out and won the Jav, so well done to her. And closing ceremony tonight, Jim. And, of course, the Commonwealth Games goes from here and it's handed over to Victoria. And we do the games here in 2026, Geelong and other towns.
Yes.
So a couple of Victorians are at the closing ceremony tonight. Baker Boy. I got the mid again. And Vanessa Amorosi. So good luck to those. Well done. One more day to go in the Commonwealth Games. A couple of more things.
Talk about Oscar Piastri moving teams.
Yeah.
What about Davey Reynolds?
Well, he moved last year. Remember, he got the 10-year deal and that's something that happened, blew up.
Yeah.
Other world news, Jim.
Yes.
What about this? Italian decathlete, Alberto Nuno, Jim. Came last in his 400 meter run on the weekend in Colombia. So he came last in his 400 meter run, right?
Thank you, Bill. Yeah.
You know why?
Why?
Nothing unusual about coming last in the 400 meters, Jim.
Well, there is.
Well, his penis fell out of his shorts, and the whole way he had to hold it in. It must have had any jocks on. It's true, Jim. His peppy fell out. Right? And you wouldn't believe it. We found some audio.
Oh my God!
Have a listen.
And the Italian Alberto Nomanino in lane the five begins very well, but crosses the finishing line to the last. He had his penis hanging out, literally, Jim.
Anything? Nothing?
I see this as the low watermark of a show that's had a lot of them.
We called up. It was great. Where did you get that audio from? It's fantastic.
That's as bad a piece of audio, a piece of radio as we've put together. So
I don't know where you got that audio
lift
from.
Lift the standard of the show.
Hang on, two more.
Adam Barrett.
We haven't got time.
Nick Kyrgios won overnight. Yes. Well done. Well done to him. He beat someone in the seventh career title.
He beat someone.
And I've got to tell you about Ricky Stewart later. We'll talk about him later.
Let's get Damo in straight audio. This show up.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
I'm going to do a bit of twerking up there, so stand by.
Imagine, Bill.
There's only two games remaining in the home and away season.
Wrapping up the weekend of footy.
We get Purple in here and discuss footy.
This is Damo's recovery session.
Damo, welcome to you.
Hello, Jim. Hello, Bill. I can't believe that audio went to air, Bill, from that Italian runner you managed to unearth.
I couldn't believe we found that, Rabsy.
It's incredible. You allowed it, Jim?
No. I didn't know it had happened. And then when Rabs hit play, I realised that Fat had been somewhere creating craft that should never have gone to air.
Yes.
I got a question off the top because there's rumours going around and I want you to say yes or no, squash them or tell us what actually happened, please.
Yep. You're referring to the North Melbourne Premiership reunion of Saturday?
Over the weekend, yes. But I think I'm referring to an incident that happened on Saturday, allegedly, between two players.
Yes.
Can you tell me, one, have you heard this?
Yeah, look, it has been doing the rounds, Bill, for most of the day. And look, it's fair to say there was a verbal altercation between Anthony Stevens and Wayne Carey. And as is often the case when such matters occur at a pub after some consumption of alcohol, you assume, Bill, there's versions of events which differ, but there was no fisticuffs. Right. I think that's been established. And there was a subsequent, Jim, conversation between the two. Now, how that took hold and how that took shape, that's for the others to replay. Right. But after the initial breaking up, after the conversation, they did come together again.
So they've had a couple of beers, they've had a bit of a verbal, and then split up or whatever, and then actually spoke later on.
Yeah, they did do that. Right. And then the reason it's got out publicly today is largely due to the unavailability of Anthony Stevens to attend the cavalcade yesterday, pre-match, the motorcade at the ground, the North Melbourne playing the Swans. There was a celebration of that 96 team, and Anthony wasn't there. A lot of questions being asked, and then obviously story getting out that way. But there's, again, and different, there's varying versions and reasons as to why Anthony Stevens wasn't at that motorcade, and not all of them, not all the versions, link back to the conversation that he had with Duck on Saturday.
Has anyone asked Steve-O?
I haven't spoken to Anthony, no. But look, again, it's an ugly event in that club's history. It's been resolved to a point, but clearly never be fully resolved. And 20 years after what happened, again, on the Saturday just gone, Bill, the two central two are still obviously in disagreement over aspects of it and what's happened since.
All right, we move on to the Port Adelaide Football Club, David Kosh.
Yeah.
Turn it around or watch out.
I reckon it's a looming story, this one, Jim, given the contract that Ken Hinckley's got for next year. But after the 0-5 start, they held it together, and I think that's admirable to a point. But ultimately, there's been 15 matches since that 0-5 start, and they've only just squared the ledger by plus one. It's an 8-7 scoreline since that moment. And look, he just may have taken this team as far as he can take it. And that's not a slight on him. It's not a criticism of him. He's got them to three preliminary finals. The two previous seasons, they were prelim finals. And I think, Bill, we'll look back on the 2020 season when they lost to Richmond in that year's prelim.
Yep.
They didn't do much wrong apart from not win that prelim final. They just got dusty late, if you recall, and Richmond went on to win their third year. Last year was an embarrassment with what happened against the Bulldogs in the prelim final, and maybe they just never, ever recovered from that moment. But I don't see Ken Hinckley being coach now of Port Adelaide next year.
You don't?
No, I don't, and I haven't for some time. And I feel it'll be Ken's decision as much as David's and the club itself. And look, there's a contract there, so there'll be a negotiation of sorts. And I would think if North can't sort things out with LSD Clarkson, and everything is indicating that they are well or tracking well for that to be the case. Yep. But if it does get to a point where they need to bring in outsiders and other people outside Clarkson, I couldn't imagine why Ken Hinckley wouldn't be at the very top of that next batch of people they will speak to.
I agree. 10 years is about the right time, I reckon. Any longer than that, you need to have tucked away two or three flags to go beyond that.
Yep.
Well, Chris Scott's he's got one, obviously,
well, he's
but
a
10.
Premiership coach,
yeah, exactly.
But I just think that it doesn't mean that you're not going to be better at the next place.
No, it doesn't.
Most likely you are going to be.
Yeah.
So for me, people like Ken Hinckley, like Leon Cameron, again, taking a team through prelims to a grand final,
yep,
they'll go somewhere else and I think make exceptional coaches the second. Because you learn so much with what you get wrong and right the first time. I'm with you. I reckon wherever he ends up, if it's not at Port Adelaide, he'll do a great job.
Yeah, and Don Pike's another one. I'm glad for Don Pike that he did publicly speak about this camp. Now, he's obviously an assistant coach at Sydney Swans now, Bill, but he chose the doorstop element to the weekend matches in travel to address, and I think rightly apologise, and if people haven't killed up with it, they can go and track it down on social media. But I'm glad he did say sorry, and I'm glad he did address the wrongs of that camp, because he was becoming, I suppose, caught up in this, and then it was almost as though he wasn't going to be able to get the chance potentially to coach again. I'm glad he's cleared the air on that. So I think there's a good raft of options for clubs like North Melbourne that are committed to getting an experienced coach. And as I said before, that they are tracking well with Alistair Clarkson to this point.
He would be exceptional again wherever he goes. I thought he did a great job at Adelaide, actually.
Yeah.
You know, with what he had there. He will be very good when he chooses to jump back in.
Yeah. Just a couple of other issues before we get the negatives and positives. Josh Kennedy. Now, the name is big in footy, Bill. Obviously, the West Coast version of it kicked 8 goals in his final game of footy. 293 career matches, 723 career goals. That was one good story about the Josh Kennedy. But the Josh Kennedy of the Swans with the hamstring, and it's on the other leg to the one that he ripped earlier in the season. It's he's just unfortunately now not going to be seen again this year. And as such, we may have seen him for the last time on an AFL venue. And look, that's a shame for him given what's happening with his club this year. They are a live premiership hope. He's been so central to what they've done by establishing themselves as the great Sydney Swans team. And he's not going to play a part of what lies ahead this year.
Does Simon Goodwin say anything to Ed Langdon?
I'd hope not.
No.
I would really hope not. I know the way footy clubs work, and they whatever they say publicly, privately, they have a different view, and we only needed to see what Craig McRae and others, we spoke to Scott Pendlebury, they joke about it, Collingwood, but they clearly referenced it. And you called the incident when Reynard tried to kill him within the rules. And I think to Langdon's credit, he stood up in that tackle and he stood up in the match.
Oh, exactly.
And it wasn't the reason they lost. They've
and if Melbourne win, Melbourne. What do we say then? And they could have easily won. They just couldn't get the ball in the last 5 minutes.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, the rule of thumb always is when you're talking about a game coming up, you speak honestly about yourselves.
Yes.
You normally don't talk about the other mob.
That's okay.
I mean, that's normally what
we like that.
Oh, of course we do.
I do.
But I just wonder. I'm with you. I loved it. It added great theatre to what was one of the games of the season. I just wonder internally whether they would have said anything to him or just let it go.
I reckon they would have pre-match. I would hope they didn't post-match because, as Bill said, it wasn't the reason. But, as we both know, Jim, and as we know, in the States, those sorts of comments are made daily.
All the time.
And they're not even repeated, let alone to the ad nauseum extent that we do as an industry.
We're not in the States, Damon.
No, we're not. No, we're not. I wish we were sometimes, Bill, because we are a very amateur outlook.
We're here.
Industry,
in Victoria,
at times.
Okay? We're in Victoria.
Are we going to go to Sydney next?
Right.
Well, Ricky Stewart, we're going to have
a... Oh, no. I want to ask about Cripps.
Well, we'll get to that next. We're having a break. But I'd also like to reference a rugby league.
We can do that.
This is Damo's Recovery Session on Triple M's Rush Hour.
Damien Barrett's in the studio.
All right, couple of quick ones. Bailey Smith.
Resigned from the Bulldogs. They've just announced that in the past few minutes, Jim. So 2 further years for him as a Bulldog. So, given the issues he'd been through this year, to wrap that up, so to just take him out of that conversation, it's a good storyline out of the club that hasn't had too many this year.
No. Speaking of good storylines, Ben Cunnington gets through.
Yeah, it was a great storyline, wasn't it? The recurrence of the cancer issues he's had, and that's obviously ruined his past 2 football seasons. It's ruined his life to a contextual point. But to return through the VFL as he did yesterday, to pick up the 18 touches and to just look like he, you know, was happy to be out there. And even to hear him talk afterwards, I enjoyed getting the hits. I mean, it's just great.
They've got his parents there and all that. It was fantastic.
Yeah, it was great, wasn't it? I mean, we've had some great stories this year, and the relationship that he's developed with another cancer sufferer through their ordeals, unfortunately. Sam Doherty's a powerful storyline. They've got games against Adelaide in round 22, which is north, and Gold Coast in round 23.
Must play.
Yeah, the problem for the next game, the Adelaide game, it's a Saturday game, him playing for the first time in a year on a Sunday.
Yep.
Look, it may be round 23.
Might
where they
be
play.
Round 23, yeah. But get him out there. Get him back out there.
I'm going to that game, Adelaide North Melbourne. I'm going to go to that game.
How? Oh, are you leaving another Saturday leaving. Rub early?
Ice away. The man, the shakes.
Hang on. Anyway, are you going to give us your best 90 minutes on Saturday?
No, I might get 57 again. Patrick Cripps.
Can you pull rank on
him? No, I'm going to get rid of him.
He can't
keep
doing
it. I'll be over there in Adelaide, Jim.
Yeah, good. You might stay there.
I might be half an hour late.
Patrick Cripps.
As we speak, we don't yet have match review office adjudication on it. We know the way it works. The fact that Callum Archie, who was the player contacted by Paddy Cripps, was subbed out of the game for the knock bill, it cannot augur well for Paddy Cripps.
Is there anything
Cripps.
In the rules regarding a football incident?
No, there shouldn't be, and there's a few people advocating
that. Why? Because football accidents happen.
Jimmy Bartel's the biggest one to advocate this, Bill. I've come around to that thinking, that if it is a football incident as opposed to a non-football incident, that it should be viewed
differently,
leniently, or more leniently than the non-football incident. So, no, but there's not, to answer your question, and all we can go on is, and Jim, you're as big as this on this as anyone, the fact that there was damage caused to the point where Archie was subbed out, it's going to work against Paddy Cripps. And if it doesn't, there's some players in the past who've had that sort of ruling placed on them. Geelong and Collingwood, Bill, do you remember 2011 pretty well, I'd imagine, as a Cats supporter? There's parallels in the 11-win game winning streak that they're both on. The 1 and 2 ladder position after round 21, as we had, they were 1 and 2 from round 2 of that particular season onwards. And they obviously then played in that year's grand final. Collingwood only lost to Geelong that season. They did it three times. In that season, inclusive of the grand final. Geelong only lost 3 times full stop and obviously won the grand final. They're different storylines in 2022.
Oh, yeah.
But to get to this stage with Collingwood even a full game clear of the third place team, it's just an extraordinary. And you called the game.
What
on
they're
Friday
doing,
night.
Collingwood, is quite simply ridiculous. Yeah. Like the first half of that game, at one stage they had 9 possessions inside forward 50 and kicked 7 goals. I mean, it just doesn't happen.
Nah.
So it's like I said, it's like Moneyball. Yeah. You know, like the stuff that's happening just doesn't happen. Mm. It's the best story in footy by a mile.
It is. By some way, isn't it? Yep. Yeah, and people who it's ingrained to hate Collingwood, isn't it? And yet they won't admit to this en masse, but there's an element of
love. You're
actually
pulling for them.
Yeah, well, exactly. Look, I know I am, but I know some hardened people who just they're trained to hate, and they love it.
Yeah. It's us against them.
Well, this year it's Collingwood's been embraced, and that's takes some doing, doesn't it? That takes some doing. And it's all to do with Craig McRae's attitude, because it's filtered down and engrossed and enveloped the whole club and the whole way of thinking.
Dangerfield pulled out very, very late on
Saturday night. Yeah, it did, Bill. Look, there's some scans, I believe, that have been had since then. And obviously, you know, let's await the scans and see what the club wants to say publicly. But the fact you're going in and needing some extra, I suppose, medical scan work, Jim. It's not maybe as simple as just having a tight calf in the pre-match. And given he's had the issues, look, smart move to take him out, as it was with Selwood previous to that, as it was with Blitzarv's already taken out. They've had some beautiful rest periods, these guys.
Mm. All right, so we get the post-match press conferences done in the AFL, and they're often pretty bland. And we saw one in Sydney recently where only one reporter turned up.
That's it, Jim. Ricky Stewart on the weekend.
NRL.
His mob were playing Penrith, and I think there's a bit of an issue there with Jamin Salmon. And have a listen to this. He was placed on report for a kick aimed at Canberra Raiders hooker Tom Starling. Of course, Ricky Stewart is the coach of Canberra Raiders. Have a listen.
I've had history with that kid. I know that kid very well. He was a weak-gutted dog as a kid, and he hasn't changed now. He's a weak-gutted dog person now.
You just can't say that.
What the hell is that?
It's rugby league, isn't it? So we're half used to them doing things very differently. But I'm sorry, He has to be suspended for that. Has to be. And his club, as we speak, I don't think they've actually suspended. Done anything. Bill, you can't talk like that.
I know.
Yeah, I'm
They'll
sorry.
Fine him. They'll fine him.
Well,
I don't know if
so I'd suspend him.
Context is Ricky Stewart's son and that guy had a bloom,
salmon
when they were 12 or 13.
Something like
right?
when they were 12 or 13 years of age.
So that's the history.
That's the history.
I don't think that provides a context.
No, I don't either.
I know what you're saying. I know, but that's the history.
Out. Ricky came out and said, I was talking as a father and not as a coach.
Well, I don't care what he's talking about. It's something when the microphone's on for someone of that standing. And look, we've all celebrated Ricky Stewart. He's one of the greats, isn't he?
We need to hear it again.
I've had history with that kid. I know that kid very well. He was a weak-gutted dog as a kid, and he hasn't changed now. He's a weak-gutted dog person now.
See, to hear it even sometimes the written word looks worse than the spoken word. That is an example. There's venom in that.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sorry, you have to have a sanction attached to that of significance that says we're not tolerating that. And Peter Vallandi says a lot of things about a lot of people, inclusive of the organisation he runs in the NRL. And I'll be keen to see what he thinks about it at some stage of the next 24 hours, Bill. And I think he probably should have done something before now just to send the message that we are not going to tolerate that, because that sends all sorts of messaging that's wrong.
Are Carlton going to play a final this year?
Yeah, they will.
You're giving them a win in the next 2 weeks.
I am. Even
if they don't win, they can still
They can still make it because the Bulldogs need to win both games as well. And they've still got a game against Hawthorn in Tassie, the Bulldogs, and they're not playing well. I didn't like what they did yesterday, and I don't read too much into the 8 goals that they kicked in the last quarter against Brisbane, because the damage was done then, and a little bit like what Essendon has been doing with winning matches. I think the comeback was a fake component to the game. But having
said that, they couldn't be meeting Melbourne at a worse time.
No.
Because Melbourne will absolutely be flying at that game.
You say that, Jim. But they're 4 wins, 6 losses since round 10 themselves, Melbourne.
Yeah.
And I know what you're saying. But this is not Melbourne in that 17-game winning streak, the 7 of last year, the 10 of this year. This is Melbourne in a 10-game patch of form where they've only won 4 games.
And
I reckon they're not in a good time to get
it. If they'd got over Collingwood and they'd won 2 in a row, then you might think, all right, they might just come back off the pace a little bit. After the weekend, I think they will be flying in that game.
And
so I just find it interesting that they can have had the season they've had and potentially then not play a final.
They were 8-2.
Yeah.
They were 8-2. Yeah. And like Melbourne, since that point, has gone 4-6 to fall away dramatically. And there's no sign of it being returned, is it? That's the problem. And a few issues with last year's common medalist, Harry McKay, who's just not impacting the way that they now need him to.
All right, Purple, great catching up with you. Thanks for dropping by.
Cheers, boys.
Damo's recovery session. Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Oh, I got another one, Jim. Right. Just like the other one.
Next Monday, we are live from the San Remo Hotel.
JB and Billy love an away trip.
So what we're calling you is Road Trip Brownless.
So we're going on tour.
They've been everywhere, man.
Thanks to our van RV, the Rush Hour hits the road.
Hit the road, fat.
For the largest range of caravan parts and accessories in Melbourne, check out ourvanrv.com.au.
That's right. If you're looking for a new caravan, go to someone who really knows their stuff. Our Van RV, family-owned and operated for over 10 years. See ourvanrv.com.au.
All right, so San Remo first up.
Today week, Jim, will be there.
And then we are here to announce the second destination.
We are indeed.
A couple of Mondays away.
Today, fortnight.
Yes.
Jim.
And where are we headed?
We're going to Mansfield and we're going to the Delatite Hotel.
Oh, yes, please.
Which is owned by Dean and Gillian Bell, very good AHA people, of course, have joined the AHA and a couple of awards there. It's a double-story hotel, Jim.
Yep.
Accommodation upstairs.
Yes.
And a lovely-looking hotel also. Have you been there?
I have, because I went up to Stupid Ned's joint years ago.
That's
and
it.
He had just coached them to a flag, the Mansfield
David
Club.
Mitch.
The Eagles.
Yeah. Mm. So they were all in there. Getting nicely, enjoying themselves.
Exactly.
And I sat and had one beer with old Cement.
Yes.
And then I split. Well, I let them have the rest of their day. They were all getting, celebrating hard. So I have been to the Delatite Hotel, and it's a beauty.
In Mansfield. So that is today, fortnight, San Remo next Monday. I'm looking forward to that. So it's all happening.
Oh, yes, please.
We've got another couple to announce down
the
track. But that's all thanks to our good friends, Al Van RV. Oh. I love their family-owned.
Absolutely.
Are we taking one up to any of these places in our van RV?
Yes, absolutely.
We're going everywhere.
Bill's sleeping in it.
Are you?
G,
Geez, I would be selling that second hand afterwards.
No, you wouldn't, Jim. It'd be lovely. Slept
suspension.
In it. I might even stay in it.
Make sure, eat, stay and play at the Dalatite Hotel in Mansfield. It's the heart of the high country. We'll be there August 22.
Geez, they'll be that excited to see me.
No, they won't.
It'll be unbelievable. They don't get A-graders. They don't get A-listers at places like this, Bill.
They won't know who you are.
Mm, they do.
Don't worry. Fat will get up there at the bar, have one off the tap, and away we go. Telling jokes and everything.
Yeah, you'll have them eating out of the palms.
Because guess what is on the way to Mansfield, the Dalatite Hotel, Jim?
What?
Well, Bonnie Doon.
We're going to Bonnie Doon.
It's 15 minutes before Mansfield is Bonnie Doon. We might drop in there and have one. Just one, Jim, on the way to Mansfield, of course. Yeah,
okay. I've got a special announcement next.
Have you?
Yes.
You're getting married?
No.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Drink anyone?
Yeah. Cheese them?
Mark from... Look, I've just said something really embarrassing and there's been a nice pregnant pause.
Yes.
Anyone like a cheesel? Oh, Georgie Brayshaw. 17 today.
17.
Bill, I can't believe it.
Wow.
All I remember is him being one and two.
Don't they just grow up
before
your eyes?
How the hell's he got to 17?
Exactly.
No, I was driving him to school today because he demanded... to be driven to school. Normally it's the bus.
Yes.
No exceptions. Mm.
Birthday.
Get up and get your own ass onto the bus.
No, birthday, Jim.
A birthday, I'm getting driven.
Yes.
About a 25-minute drive.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got this grin like a bloody split watermelon. I said, listen, enjoy. This is the last time it happens.
What, you turn 17?
No, the last time you get driven to school.
Yes.
Anyway, I said to him, all right, Dez, because his nickname's Dez, because he thinks he's got the big Warwicks, big arms, so he calls him Dez and Troy. I said, Des.
Sounds like his old man.
I said, Desmond, well, how many presents do you think you're going to get? Eight, he says.
Eight?
Eight.
Not going to get
Not
eight.
Not at 17.
No.
Eight's when you're like five.
And you know what it'll be? A bit of cash.
Well, no, it doesn't get cash.
Don't it?
No.
Oh, that's
no.
what I'll give him.
I'll tell you what he's done. He's asked for his own present. Like, he's even sent me the screenshot of it.
So what is it?
So order these. Well, I'm not going to tell you because he hasn't opened it yet.
Oh, well, but he anyway, knows. He sent it to you.
He'll get two or three. He doesn't
that
know
checks
yet.
Out.
Oh. He doesn't know yet.
Right.
All right. He's hoping.
Yes.
So you'll get two or three, Desmond.
Des, that's anyway, not eight.
No. He won't get you. Eight. But happy birthday, 17.
Good boy. He going drives, out for dinner?
He drives in a year.
No. Mm.
Can you believe that?
Have you been around with him on the L's?
Yes.
Mm.
Not to
you
my
wear
liking.
Your foot out on the other side, don't you? With, you think you got a break and you keep hitting it.
Anyway, yes, good. We're out. We go to the Chinese restaurant, the Lazy Susan. They can order what they want until Dad thinks it's too expensive, and then I cut them off.
Have a beer?
Yeah, cool. He won't know.
Why?
17, Bill. When were you having your first one?
About 9.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Where's
Billy.
The boss? I've got to sign on for next year. I haven't signed.
I would do it quickly. I don't know if you're aware, but Nick Blakey doesn't have any shoulders.
No so singlets.
Don't bring it up.
No.
When we get him on, don't bring it up.
When's he on?
He's on in about half an hour.
Good.
And we give away an amazing supercar prize as well. Rosie Walton not far away with feedback.
Yes.
But now.
Now.
On Triple M's Rush Hour, this is Bizarre. It's Billy's unique look at the other side of footy.
Father. Very good today.
Is it?
No.
Becoming very quickly the best segment on radio.
No, I don't reckon.
Yes, all the channels in the world.
You reckon?
Mm-hmm. And...
What's at number five, Fat?
Thank you. I was just about to say that. Brian, he's a different... funny fellow, Brian, isn't he? We love Brian.
Yes.
And he reflected on the weekend on playing Scrabble on a cruise ship with Chief, with Spud and with Sam.
Yes.
He has zero tolerance of those that don't have a brain. And I remember Spud and I on a boat when we went on a cruise together and we were playing Sam and Chief in a game of Scrabble.
Oh, no.
And all Spud and I could come up was if, of, in, at, the... And they were putting together three-syllable words in Scrabble.
They had two O's. Spud and Bristol had two O's, so they put it next to an M and made the word moo. And I think at that stage the chief just said, I'm not doing this anymore.
What, just flipped the board and walked out?
Sam took a photo and said, that'll be the end of Scrabble.
That is 100% true. Yes, I was there when that happened. It was as funny. Well, it was a mismatch.
It was.
Chief and Sam against Spud and Bristol.
You got kindergarten and NASA.
It was very good.
Next.
How about number four, Bins?
Speaking of the Chief, Jimmy Boy, I love this from the Chief because Sam Darcy, of course, played his first game for the Western Bulldogs on the weekend, and Chief didn't miss Luke.
And here's Darcy. First touch for the debutant. Do a huge round of applause, yep. Sam Darcy.
He's already one more possession than his father had on debut against. Were we not supposed to bring that up?
Scrambled away and Treloar back into the lineup takes the mark.
You're $1.10 too, so you can pay out now.
Oh, Shane wasn't having anything of it, was he?
Shane.
Oh, Dwayne. Because you know what happened with Luke on his
debut?
He didn't
have a great day.
He didn't have a disposal, not touch, one.
Didn't recognise it.
So Luke had one in the first couple of minutes. No, I'm sorry, Sam.
Hey, he looked very good, by the way.
Bloody hell.
Look at home.
Oh, he's a very good player.
What's at number three, Coco?
Oh, Bruzzy. What about Bruzzy? And was he happy with his tackle Friday night?
Talk us through the squeeze tackle. Yeah, halfway through that last quarter, you lick your lips and enjoy that.
I did, and I'm actually still a little bit sore. My sternum, I actually winded myself a little bit, but I lined him up pretty well, didn't I? I lined him up and I, felt pretty good because the crowd went nuts. So
talk a little bit about that, Bruz. The fact
I'm
that...
I'm just watching it here.
Yeah, I'll give you some enjoyment time to watch that. But in the end, like the capacity to come forward really ramped that pressure up.
He's pretty happy with it.
He's loving his own work.
He loved it, Fox Footy. Thank you very much. But Bruzzy loved that one.
Give us number two, Smack.
Oh, Brian. Channel 7's Roaming Brian became Falling Brian.
Oh, no.
So just down here, these are the three best seats at the G. So if you come down... Whoops. Jesus, I just about went.
Oh, Brian.
I thought it was going to be Nordberg.
Oh, exactly.
Out of Naked Gun.
It
was the funniest thing ever.
Oh. What do you got at number one, Bill? Oh, our favourite TJ. Cut up rough, Jim. When the Chompers. Sunday footy show had a crack at him, he asked a silly question to Paul Salmon.
To do that means a hell of a lot to me, so I'm still very close to the Hawthorn Footy Club. Very fortunate to have two great clubs to be tied to like that.
You played under Yabby?
No. But Yabby was great around the club. He always came down to say good day, and he was very generous and saying that he wish we did get to work together. But yep. No, never.
How many years did you miss him by, Yabby? About
15?
Water. Seriously.
Only 15 years off.
No, well, I'm sorry, but after all, it's a bit. Damo, old fair dinkum.
I'll
put one on your nose.
I didn't say it.
No, but you're laughing over there.
It was funny.
Move the target.
Yeah, move the target. The joke. Do we need the joke after that?
Actually, take it away.
Lordo with a live one.
That was
he
good.
Loved it, Lordo.
Channel 9, thank you very much. Yeah, just missed Yabby by 15 years at Hawthorn. Come on, DJ. Yeah,
Kanga Kennedy.
DJ walked off.
Oh,
guess who jumped in the hosting seat?
Oh, Nath.
Half a second.
Before he got off the set, Nath was in his chair.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
And you come sat too close to me. I've
got a cramp. Oh, no. He's got a cramp.
On Triple M's Rush Hour.
Bit of feedback from Hose Mary.
Yeah.
It's social media feedback.
Be more constructive with your feedback, please.
With Aussie Supermole Rosie Walton.
Hose, welcome to you on a Monday.
Thank you, James.
I've copped some feedback.
Oh,
good. James Brayshaw. Well, I did my son, Jonathan, a favour because he's now down at Margaret River roasting.
Yes.
So not a thing do I get out of it, by the way.
Yeah, a
not
bag
a
of
brass
coffee.
Razu.
You get a bag
well,
of coffee.
And that's what, wholesale's at $18.
I don't know. Something.
So, and all I do, Hose, is help his mob out, Margaret River bloody coffee or whatever they're called,
yes.
Roasting,
yes.
And copped a roasting.
From
fair
them,
enough.
From everyone.
That's good.
What was the hashtag? Looking young or something?
Yeah, well, you... Now, that's accurate.
No.
Hose. Anyway,
coffee.
So let's get to some
well
proper
done.
Feedback. All nice right. feedback.
Nice feedback. On Friday, we did Brag Artist.
Yes.
And Ben was one of our...
Braggers.
Yeah. And he gave
been
us...
on the piss.
No, yesterday.
No, yeah.
I'm okay now.
I was going to say.
Thank you.
Wow.
Breath over me.
Must on a Sunday.
I know. I can just tell when Rosemary's been on it, Jim.
What, because I told you and I had lasagna for lunch?
Yeah. Like Garfield yes. eating this big lasagna.
He did a great promotion, this Benny Carpenter, for our listener app.
L-I-S-T-N-R.
It's a part of his call. He wrote to us, very lovely young man. Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much for getting me on. I'm about to cry. You've even been using me as a stinger for listener. And I got the bloody schooner glasses. Thank you so, so much. You've given people around me so much joy just from that one call. I love this entire team.
Oh,
and four love hearts in orange.
Nice. That's the nicest feedback we've ever had.
I know. I almost felt weird reading it out. Well, it was too nice. Yeah. Now, you had a joke on Friday, one of the fruitier ones.
Yes. I think that was Jim. I didn't go.
Oh, it was me, was it?
Don't blame me.
No, nothing to do with me.
Something to do with squatters.
Yes, that's it. Squatters.
Anyway, we got a message from Anthony Ingham. Any danger of some thanks? It's the best joke for at least 5 years. I sent it in. So sorry, Anthony.
Sorry, Anthony. He did DM me with that, Jim.
Did he?
So I should have recognised Anthony there. So well done, Ingers.
Well done. It was a good joke.
Good joke. Well done.
Riley East has sent us a message saying, Fat, coming over to Melbourne from WA soon and wanting to know the best pubs to go to for some well-earned frothies. Cheers, Bins. Rissole from WA.
I wouldn't be going anywhere near the Cremorne Rissole.
Well, it's not Melbourne.
No, they've doubled their prices too.
Every pub.
Gone from $8 to $16.
$6.10 to $6.20, Jim.
Oh, you've added 10 cents.
Yes. They only went up 5. But somewhere, where would he go? Swan Hotel. Near the MCG, Rissole can walk from there.
On the corner of Church and Swan.
Don't start talking to Hose about Richmond pubs.
Well,
she lived in them for about 15 years.
She still does.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Or the corner.
The Espy is a good pub.
The Espy is a good pub in St Kilda.
No, no. We're the London Tavern. Where they can walk.
Mm-hmm.
You can't walk from St Kilda to the G.
Yes, you can. Yeah. I've done it.
Yeah.
I was coming blind.
Home. You had no money. You had to walk home. You got sent home.
Tristan Forrest has sent us a message. Tristan Forrest from Croydon.
Mm-hmm.
Full stop.
That's it.
I want to comment on Billy's joke. Mm. Most of the time, the joke actually isn't that bad. It's just that Billy tells it bad.
It does.
I often find myself chuckling along in the car after I've retold the joke to myself much better in my head. Yep. Might I suggest doing a pre-recorded segment on the Rush Hour where Billy spends some time with one of the great joke tellers of the nation, perhaps Shane Bourne.
We have done that before.
We have. Yeah.
Need to do it again, apparently.
I know. We did. Remember we got Shane Bourne in and he told the same joke as you properly.
And it was a lot better.
A million times
It was a
better.
Lot better, yeah. Wasn't it?
The exact same joke. Bourne told it and it was hilarious.
It was inflections.
Yeah,
all of the above. Delivery.
Yeah, that's it.
Mm. You'd reckon you'd learn, wouldn't you?
Oh, well, try again. Maybe listen back to the podcast.
Another 11 years.
All right. Now, something to watch on the telly, if you've got Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
There was a thing called Woodstock 99. So they tried to recapture the spirit of the 69 Woodstock in 1999 with a bunch of rock bands.
How many went to 69?
I don't know, but there was 250,000 at this Woodstock 99. So there's this thing on, it's a three-parter on Netflix called Trainwreck, Woodstock 99. Mm-hmm. It goes for 3 episodes. It's 2 hours all up. It is the most insane thing I've ever seen. It goes from worse to bad to really bad to unthinkable things. So it's just these bands that are just riling these 250,000 blokes up.
Blokes.
They end up burning the joint down, literally.
Whoa.
It is incredible.
So what's it called?
Trainwreck, Woodstock 99. Trainwreck doesn't even adequately describe how bad this was.
Well, I've had one recommended to me, Hose, for our family members, if you have Stan.
Yes.
My Life as a Rolling Stone.
I was going to mention this as
apparently
well.
Apparently it's nuts.
So 4 episodes, each of the key members has an ep. So Mick, Keith, Ronnie and Charlie.
Charlie, yep.
So I'm not sure how much they have of Charlie before he passed away, it's just purely retrospective or whether he was able to be interviewed in time for it. But apparently it's great to coincide with his 60th.
Yes. Andrew Carter, who's a huge Stones fan, said to me, you've got to get your eyes around this. Yep. It is magnificent. My Life as a Rolling Stone, Stan. So there's a couple of...
good.
Oh, yeah. Woodstock was the original. Well, my goodness.
Oh, mate. Well, I was reading at the Seekers. Unfortunately, Judith Durham passed away. What a star she was. But in 1967, at the Sydney...
My Music Bowl,
200,000 people. 200,000 in at the Sydney Music Bowl. That is unbelievable for the
huge.
Seekers.
Mm.
I didn't know they were that big.
Yeah.
They were huge.
Wasn't a lot going on in Melbourne back then either.
Back then, no.
I was born. You were born.
I went for a long time thinking the Sydney Meyer Music Bowl was in Sydney. I couldn't work out, Hose, why people kept promoting stuff that was happening in Sydney.
Spot on, Jim. So when I lived close, I walked because I didn't walk around the town. I walked through it.
Through it.
And guess what I found? Sydney Meyer Music Bowl was there.
One thing before I go, we need to Marty Sheargold is an excellent broadcaster. He's
yes,
a great
he is.
Kangaroos
breakfast.
Fan.
Yeah, breakfast.
Dominating
Kangaroos
breakfast.
Fan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Loves
big.
The Kangas.
Oh, come on, crazy.
Marty.
Yep.
Good morning.
But unfortunately this morning when he was trying to promote our show for today, he didn't quite get a handle on a couple of names.
Next, it is time for the Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Yes, Nick Larkey, did you say, Matthew?
No, Nick Blakey.
Nick Blakey. Oh, different guy. And, of course, Purple, Adam Barrett will be joining the team. Adam Barrett was an old anchor of mine from years ago. Lovely man.
Adam Barrett.
Oh, Marty.
Well, Nick Blakey's understandable. Kicked a bag.
He did.
So we had
Nick Blakey, Nick Larkey.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I love Adam
Marty.
Barrett.
And Adam Barrett, we're going to hear from, we've actually already heard from,
we're already heard from we'll hear from Nick Blakey soon, though. It's the Rush Hour at Triple M.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Remember what we used to do? Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Remember?
Oh, and Mondays.
Mondays and Fridays off. What happened to that fact?
Well, we got too popular.
The Repco Supercars Championship will return to Victoria for the Penrite Oil Sandown Super Sprint Boys 19 to the 21st of August. Head to triplem.com.au and show us what you have done to your car,
yeah,
JB.
Souped up your chariot.
That's it.
So not your standard. We want to know what you've added to it. You might have chipped it up. You might have put the big fart pipe on the back.
Fart pipe.
You might have put some new rims in there.
Suspensions.
All of the above, Bill.
Fluffy dice.
Maybe even that.
Yeah.
So what have you done to soup up your chariot? And your favourite entry
yes.
ends up with?
A weekend, what? Double pass, a course car ride, a grid walk, merchandise packs, and it's valued at $3,400.
Wow.
Yep.
When are we doing this?
We'll announce it on Fridays. Also some runner-up prizes, including GA passes and merch packs to the Sandown Repco Supercars Championship
Triple
race.
triplem.com.au and show us what you've done to improve your ride.
That's
Chili?
It. Oh, V8 Nuffies will love this.
Of course
they'll
will.
Love this.
Of course they will. And that is a cracking prize, as you said, Rabbits. $3,400 worth.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Number three, here we go. How many laps are there around Mount Palomaran?
Oh! We're joined by Nick Blakey from the Sydney Footy Club.
Our next guest is a Triple M footy favourite.
Here's the lizard through the middle, Blakey.
Oh,
he slithered his way. Blakey on the left. Oh, well. Sydney, you got another one.
As the Swans try to hold on to their top four spot this week against Collingwood, please welcome Nick Blakey.
Oh, what a star this man is, Jimmy Boy. Going beautifully at the Sydney Swans. Could have been at your old mob.
Oh, I know.
But
bone to pick with him.
We speak to Nick Blakey. Hey, welcome, Nick, and welcome to the Rush Hour.
Billy, JB, thanks for having me.
Oh, great to have you, mate. And nice win on the weekend over Jim's North Melbourne. Did it easy.
Yeah, it was nice. My old man's in the coaching box for North at the moment. So, yeah, it's always nice to get a win over those boys.
Did he give you some abuse quarter time or three-quarter time, the great man?
I actually didn't see him yesterday out there, but I'm sure he would have had a few things to say if he could have.
Well, he's obviously doubly celebrating on the
weekend. Yes.
He had to celebrate one celebration on the weekend because they had the great 96 reunion. Nick, were you even alive then? I don't reckon you were.
No, I was born in 2000, so I didn't see that one.
Has he run it by you on the video, put the old VHS in the machine?
Yeah, I've seen it. He was a liability, though. So.
do you know how many games he played, Nick?
356, I think.
359. That's a lot of footy.
That is a lot of footy. Look at his
bill. He is.
He wouldn't have missed too many either, the old boy. He was pretty durable.
Yeah, God, he had a lot of luck with his body and... I've been pretty lucky with mine as well. So,
do you reckon?
Hopefully it's a thing of the family.
Do you reckon you've had a lot of luck with that body?
Well, apart from my posture, but from an injury wise, an injury standpoint.
Now we had Luke Parker on and we love chatting to Luke Parker and we asked him about you because, we love the way you go about it, but that's just those shoulders we're not sure about. And this is what Luke had to say.
On field, we love him when he scurries along. He's been in the weights room for a few years and nothing's changed, so we're kind of just giving up in that department.
Does he have coat hangers at home?
Or doesn't have any shoulders.
He doesn't need any coat hangers.
No, I don't think so. Yeah, singlets fall off.
Well, he's a fridge, so I can maybe take some from him.
Yeah, exactly.
Singlets fall off him, he reckons.
Yeah, well, God, I've been trying to put on weight for 4 years and just nothing stays on.
Well, I looked you up, and guess what come up? The Newbury Excalibur bat, the cricket bat with no shoulders. That come up on the internet.
Oh, God, Bill, it's not your joke segment, mate.
Lizard, perfectly done.
We love it.
Hey, I love the role they've got you playing now too. The handball receive, running from behind, delivering, with great authority into the forward half. It must be a great fun way to play footy.
Yeah, it's a nice spot back there. And obviously I struggled in my first couple of years up forward and around the ball a bit. So to find a spot where, suits me, I can defend and use my speed to defend, but then also get us going forward has been nice. And, no doubt, been my best position since coming into the AFL.
And I almost know Don Pike's had a fair bit to do with the ball movement at the Swans. They encourage you just to bite off whatever you can see. When you see something downfield, doesn't matter where it is, you just go for it? Or what's the parameters they put around your kicking?
I think they've got confidence in me to go for what I see, but at the same time they want me to take easy ones as well, so sometimes I get a bit carried away going for the impossible ones, but they're happy for me to go for what I see, and hopefully it's the right choice.
It's a good move, Nico, because hard to get amongst the goals up in that Sydney forward line when you got Buddy and you got Paps, who just doesn't give it off, and then you got Warner and Reed and Heaney and Errol.
Well, those boys are firing at the moment.
Exactly.
So, it would be it's a tough spot. Obviously, even you look at our reserves, and Logan McDonald played on the weekend, but Sam Wicks is playing in the twos. Braden Campbell's in the twos playing forward. So,
going all right.
Hard spot to play. So, yeah, we're going all right in forward, that's for sure.
What's changed this year, Blakes? What are you doing? Because the Swans have emerged really in 2022 as, I think, a contender to win the whole lot. Yeah. What are you doing differently?
I don't think we've done too much different from last year. I mean, obviously last year we bounced back into finals, but I think just another year of all of us young boys playing together and doubling down on our game plan, which has probably been, a few tweaks over 3 years now. And to be in a position where we are, I think, we're fourth at the moment and we versus Collingwood and St Kilda. So I think we've just been doing the basics pretty well all year and it's held us in good stead.
We're talking to the Lizard, Nick Blakey.
What's that noise, Bill?
The fourth on the ladder, the Swannies.
Is that the noise a lizard makes?
I don't know. What kind of noise does a lizard make?
I don't know.
A drinking water.
I don't reckon it was that noise.
It was a lizard drinking water, Jim. 14-6, 5 in a row. They are flying, of course. Unfortunately, Josh Kennedy hurt his hammy again. Did he in the VFL?
Yeah, I'm not sure the extent of it. We have the day off today, so I haven't been into the club. But unfortunately for Joey, he's just come back from a hamstring and he's been in really good form. So hopefully it's not too bad, but I'm sure we'll find out what that's like over the next coming days.
What's the Lizard do on his day off?
I'm actually standing on the golf course right now with Tom McCartan.
Oh, Tommy. He'd be no good at golf, I reckon.
Nah, he's a hack.
We're going to take a little break with you, Nicholas, because there's more to discuss next, including how close you were to becoming a kangaroo.
Oh,
shut up, fat.
More with Nick Blakey next.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Great Britain, then America, Ukraine, and then Azerbaijan.
We're joined by Sydney star Nick Blakey.
When you were drafted, Blakes, I think I had finished as the chairman of North, but I still had enough influence there just to ask the list management team.
Yes.
Blakes' young bloke could be coming to us, wouldn't he? And guess what the answer was, Nick?
No.
No. Not, oh, yeah, we think there's a chance, or no. We're in discussions with his men. Just no. So you clearly had your mind made up pretty quick.
Yeah, I think, obviously Dad was a coach at the Swans for 12 years or something around that mark. So I grew up around Sydney and went to school in Sydney and I knew a lot of the boys before I even got to the club. So it was a pretty easy call for me to make when, I was 17, 18 years old. So, I'm loving my time in Sydney and very happy with the decision.
Oh, bloody oath. Good
call at the minute.
It's all going. Now,
we're in North.
There aren't two. Shut up, fat.
Two and 18.
I'm talking to Nick.
Yeah, right.
You're making lizard noises. Blakes. There aren't too many people, when we've all been around footy as long as we have, there aren't too many people that you legitimately can be intimidated by.
Yes.
But when horse, when his eyes narrow...
And his forehead.
And his forehead gets big and his thighs expand, his calves expand out. He is an intimidating man.
No doubt. I think that's what makes him such a good coach as well. I mean, he's got really good relationships with the boys, but then again, we... You know, have the utmost respect for him in the way he goes about it. So he can be intimidating, but a lot of the boys are on the good side of him, which is nice.
When you do those practice matches pre-season, Bill, and yeah. there aren't many people at the regional grounds, and he's up in one of those little boxes. Bill, you can hear him other side of the ground. You he's deafening.
Well, and also I think he's okay with the players, but I think a few assistant coaches cop it.
Yep.
Stevie J did. He had to get out. He had
big,
to go back
big
to
Big Coxie.
And then I think Big Coxie might cop it, Nico.
Yeah, oh God, I'm not sure what those boys, what he says to those boys, but he's on the bench a fair bit, and I mean, you know, we've got a young group, and he's great on the bench, so we all love him, that's for sure.
What about some other players there that are interesting? Tom Hickey, run us through him, please.
Oh, he's a great fella. He's obviously
a bit
come
different,
up to Sydney. Yeah. Well, you could call him different if you want, but. Right. No, he's a great fella. He's got a young family and, you know, he's made us a better team since he's come up to Sydney, that's for sure.
And Kurt Warner?
Kurt.
Very
Chad?
Weird. Chad Warner?
Who, Chad?
Very weird bloody head on him. He looks like he's in a boy band from the late 90s.
Yeah, well, his mum does his tips in his hair and he reckons it looks good. But he can keep what he's doing. He can keep doing what he's doing. He's a gun.
He is. Rowbottom, who's related to Brian.
I know. Did you know that?
Yeah, Rowley. Yeah. Me and Tommy live with Rowey, so it's me, Tommy, and Rowey living together. And he doesn't shut up about BT.
I tell you what, Tommy, he likes getting back to Geelong. I think they're having a chat to him down there.
He reckons he's the king of Geelong, so.
No, he's not.
You reckon he's taken the title off you, Bill?
No, he has not. I've still got it, but he's all. Geez, every chance. Is he there? Put him on.
Yeah, he's here.
Hey, mate.
Hey, Tommy, how are you, mate?
Good deal, what's going on?
You can't play golf, Tommy.
I'm a great golfer.
No, you're not.
Queen's Park, I've nailed that course. I've moved on to the Sydney courses now.
Mate, Queen's Park's a public course down there in Geelong. It's not that good.
Tommy, Bill just reckons that you're going to go back and play with Geelong. You're back there every opportunity you get.
That's it.
I've seen Bill at the local cafe a few times in Geelong, but I'm pretty happy up here.
No, you are. And Dad's taking over the pub, mate. It's all going well. Bowen Club?
No, it's going good. They've had a few Cats home games, obviously, so it's been good for the pub.
How's Paddy going? He's not there. You throw him on too. Now, how's Paddy boy? Lucy, I think she's coming back soon. She's been away, so would have been pining.
Yeah, I think he's enjoyed a bit of alone time, to be honest. I don't know when Lucy gets back. I've been driving her car around, actually, so.
There you go. Putting any scratches on it, a few dents in it, Tommy?
Couple of dents, but it's not before 6 back.
How's the lizard? Is he right?
No, the lizard's good. Just trying to teach me how to play golf. So.
Yeah. Is lizard any good at it?
He's actually all right. His sticks are a bit short. But I think he's at the same stick since he was 10. But
where are you playing? Moore Park?
Nah, East Lakes.
East Lakes?
Yeah. And they got a buggy too. They're not walking. They got a buggy, Jim.
Yeah, we can't walk. We played yesterday, Bill.
Oh, fair dinkum. In our day, that's what we used to do, run 10K and then play golf, mate. Soft, you blokes.
All right, put Blakes back on, please.
Back from that.
No. All right, now who's there? Blakes, is that you?
Yeah, it's me.
Now, big game Sunday, isn't it? 3:20, last game at the SCG gym. Yep. Collingwood, they are flying, 11 in a row, and Sydney have won 5 in a row. So this is a beauty, Blakes.
Yeah, I think. Collingwood have had a lot of close games and, you know, always find a way to win. So they're in great form and we're in some pretty good form too. So it should be a good game and we're, you know, looking forward to testing ourselves against, you know, probably them and Geelong are the informed team of the competition. So it'll be nice to get a real read where we're at.
So with the head high contact, you know, issues that are flying around, blokes, you know, a lot of blokes just lift their shoulder to make sure that the tackle goes high. How do you go with that?
Well, it's a bit hard when you got no shoulders.
You're a champ, mate. No, we love chatting to you. You're playing brilliant footy, not only the Swannies, but yourself. It's great to watch, and we can't wait to see a lot of the Swans in September. Good luck.
Thanks, boys. Love your jokes, Bill. Keep them going.
Good on you, Nico. Well done.
Do you want to watch Billy's joke?
Have a listen to Bill. When he thinks he's funny, okay, have a look at the stupid head on him.
Just follow Triple M Rush Hour on Instagram and you can see Billy's joke every day.
So this is how the joke works. Mm-hmm. Fat complains all the time.
Yep.
About the fact that, you know,
he gets woolied.
Got to find, well, that as well as
well,
the fact
didn't
that
Friday, by
can't
the way
find any jokes, can't get any jokes, hard finding jokes. So every now and then we send one through to him to help him out.
Yeah.
Here's a joke.
All right.
And what Fat does then is not tell it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So guess what?
What?
Find your own shit jokes.
All right, I will.
End the day with a laugh.
I have a joke.
This is Billy's joke.
All right, here we go.
This is from Jim.
Oh!
I ate four alphabet soup today.
Oh, no.
Cans of alphabet soup today.
Oh, no. All right, let's start this again. All right, let's,
this so is
let's,
from Jim.
We'll get it right back to the start. Here we go.
I ate.
End the day with a laugh.
I have a joke.
This is Billy's joke.
Here we go.
Righto, this is from Jimmy from Bentley. I ate four cans of alphabet soup today.
Yes.
Will it cause me problems, says the bloke to his doctor.
Yes.
Doctor says, well, you may experience a massive vowel movement. That's Jim. Terrible.
Yeah, that's not great, JP.
Vowel. I'm gonna have another go at it because I'd like to have two.
So we'll do another joke.
All right, here we go.
I have a joke.
This is Billy's joke.
All I can imagine when you're sending that is someone on the toilet and a whole lot of vowels coming out.
A-E-I-O-U.
That's it, Bill. That's it.
Doctors have just found food that can cause grief and suffering for years when it has been eaten, Jim. It's called the wedding cake.
Oh, so the first one wasn't great,
mm,
but it was absolutely magnificent compared to that last
That's
one.
That's a kind of funny ha-ha one.
No.
Yes, no. Wedding cake, Jim.
Whereas the vowel movement.
No, as soon as they eat the wedding cake, look out, Jim. Done.
The A-E-I-O-U is coming out of his bottom.
To both of them.
Look at Rav Bones.
You come up with one then, Fat.
Oxygen out of the room. Oh, Mum.
A-E-I-O-U.
That's it. Out they come.
Now they come. A woolly woolly. It's only a Monday.
Oh, no.
I don't remember.